Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us on this 14th day of September 2005. Hope we'll make your day a lot brighter. And let's have a quick look at the weather.
Well, right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, 72 degrees. Downtown, 73. Anderson, 70. Clemson, 69. Today, partly cloudy. Highs in the lower 90s. North winds, 10 to 15 miles per hour. And gusty.
Well, you know, we always like thinking about Ron Paul has to say, the former Libertarian, I believe he was former Libertarian presidential candidate, and then became a Republican to get elected as a U.S. Congressman from the Houston and South Texas area. Responding to Katrina, he writes, he says, Texans and all Americans have responded wonderfully to the Hurricane Katrina disaster, opening their wallets and their homes to help displaced victims. Of course, we have now Ophelia off the coast of South Carolina. We'll see if there's anything to be done about that one next, but it doesn't look like it's going to be quite as strong, thankfully. Ron Paul says, private donations already have topped $600 million. This outpouring shows there is hope for rebuilding and breathing life back into New Orleans after other destroyed communities if the American entrepreneurial spirit is permitted to operate freely. However, there's every indication that FEMA is nothing but a bureaucratic black hole that spends money without the slightest accountability. Any federal aid should be distributed directly as possible to local communities rather than through wasteful middlemen like FEMA. Why does Congress assume that the best approach is to simply write a huge check to FEMA, the very government agency that failed so spectacularly? That's a good question. Why do we have, why do we continue to support failed government programs? It's a failure, it doesn't do right, and so we give it more money. That makes sense. Well, it makes sense if you understand the political process, the payoffs that go on in between agencies and people's vying for power and so forth and political favoritism. Then you understand a little bit more about why people would do so. Because that's what they're in the game for, folks. They don't run for office so that they can be your servants or do a good job for you. They run for office so they can gain something for themselves. That's what politics is all about today. And if you've got somebody who's really running for any other reason, and he's really got principles, like Michael Badnarik did, or Michael Perutka in the last presidential election, or Patrick Tyndall around here running for Senate, for instance, they have principles, they're not going to be electable. Because people, frankly, who are principled do not get elected in the political process today. So is it vain? Is it a waste of time to run for political office then? Well, I think probably it is, as far as actually winning something. How did Ron Paul get elected? I don't know. It's a good point. If Ron Paul can get elected under the Republican ticket, and he is certainly a man of principle, then maybe there is some hope. But by and large, principled people like Alan Keyes, Michael Badnarik, and Michael Perutka simply do not get elected. Anyway, let me continue on with what he said. He said it doesn't make sense that we hire FEMA. He said we should all, I've all seen the numerous articles detailing the seemingly inexhaustible and inexcusable mistakes FEMA made before and after the hurricane. Yet in typical fashion, Congress seems to think that the best way to fix the mess is to throw money at the very government agency that failed. We should not be rewarding failure. Consider the demonstrated ineptitude of government on both the federal and state levels in this disaster. The people affected by the hurricane and subsequent flood would no doubt be better off if relief money simply was sent directly to them or to community organizations dedicated to cleanup and reconstruction. Indeed, we have all seen the numerous troubling examples of private organizations and individuals attempting to help their fellow Americans in so many ways over the last 10 days, only to be turned back by FEMA or held up for days by government red tape. We have seen in previous disasters how individuals and non-governmental agencies or organizations were often among the first to pitch and help in their neighbors and help their fellow citizens. Now FEMA is sending these Good Samaritans a troubling message. Stay away. Let us handle it. The examples of FEMA blocking relief efforts are numerous. And, of course, they have the Walmart trucks containing waters and supplies were turned back. Coast Guard prevented from delivering diesel fuel. 600-bed Navy hospital was left unused. Firefighters were ordered away from flood sites. Donated generators were refused, and rescue attempts by private citizens were rebuffed. Is FEMA generally really an agency that should be given another $50 billion? In several disasters that have befallen my Gulf Coast district, my constituents have told me many times they prefer to rebuild and recover without the help of federal agencies like FEMA, which so often impose their own bureaucratic solutions on the owners of private property. The economic devastation created by such a reckless approach may well be even more wide-reaching than the disaster this bill is meant to repair. He suggests instead the best approach is the creation of tax-free enterprise zones that would attract private capital to the area and result in a much quicker and more responsive recovery. Well, that's an excellent point. We thank Ron Paul for those insights as usual. And yes, why do we trust government to handle this situation? It is a failure. It's a joke. Why do we trust government at all to handle anything good for us in our lives? Has it really brought us good things? Has the dependency state through welfareism and the welfare state actually helped poor people? Or has it made them permanently poor? Has it really helped them get up towards the middle class in the last 40 years? I don't think so. We have a huge dependency class now of people here in America. It just does not work, and it cannot work well. The state is not the friend of humanity. The state is a powerful parasite that leeches and sucks out the capital from good, well-meaning entrepreneurs and capitalists and thwarts economic growth. Government cannot cause economic growth. The state can only retard economic growth by sapping away or sucking off the very lifeblood of the capitalist enterprise and retard savings, reduce the amount of investment capital available for new projects. Government can simply waste money and spend it on things, or I should say the state should just waste money and spend it on things that are of no value in terms of economic growth. I'm talking about wealth transfers, redistribution of wealth, sacking one person's money and through a legalized plunder scheme and giving it to another person, or government forcing people to behave in certain ways that are inefficient, and by so forcing them to do so raise the costs of their doing business. That's what proactive policy does, and that's what's inefficient. It doesn't help us grow at all. Now, national defense also doesn't help us grow. You could say, well, the reactive forms functions of government likewise don't help us grow. Well, indirectly, we can say that there might be a way they help us grow because they prevent us from being plundered by other predators. But yes, you're right. Directly, unless they're, well, even then, there is no way that you have direct economic growth through any actions of state taxing and spending. Period. But through when we do have government defense or a collective defense system, at least through collective defense, we can protect our property from predators. It's the same way in your home. You don't actually get wealthier by putting smoke detectors up or burglar alarms or buying savings by buying rifles and handguns and so forth, because you can always resell those assets, unlike burglar alarms and smoke alarms. But nevertheless, all the money we put in towards self defense. The money we put in towards protecting our home from disaster is not money that helps us be wealthier. It just helps us protect our lives. It helps us protect our standard of living from those who would seek to take it away from us. And so these are good things, and we can see the same thing happening through the reactive functions of government. They don't necessarily give us a direct boost in economic growth, but they do help us. They do indeed help us grow or preserve what we have grown through our own productive enterprise. And you are listening this morning to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're glad you joined us once again, and we look forward to coming back with some more exciting news and things for the day. And we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And on Fox News and elsewhere this morning, we have a lot of discussion today about John Roberts, George Bush's neocon pick for the Supreme Court Chief Justice position. And it says, it's titled, Roberts Picks and Chooses Questions to Answer. That's the lead story today by Lisa Porteous. Supreme Court Chief Justice nominee John Roberts on Tuesday battled a number of senators who tried to determine his opinions on hot-button topics like abortion and end-of-life issues. But he stood his ground, maintaining that he stands by precedent already set and that he could not answer questions about issues that are or will be before the court. Late Tuesday evening, Roberts did answer personal questions, telling Senator Lindsey Graham, that's a Republican from South Carolina, that he didn't like depictions of himself in some political advertisements, and those advertisements had been upsetting to his family. But he said he was used to repeating the phrase, it's a free country, and it's a good thing that it is. Asked what he'd like history to say about him, Roberts replied, I'd like him to start by saying he was confirmed. After laughter subsided, he added, I would like them to say he was a good judge. Outside the hearing room, some Democratic lawmakers were overheard complaining that Roberts was stonewalling on some of his answers. In his defense, Roberts said he was more than willing to answer questions regarding the importance of abiding by prior court rulings, but he would not get into detail about the application of those rulings to potential future cases. I tend to take a more practical and pragmatic approach to things, rather than a theoretical or ideological approach, Roberts said. Well, what does that mean? But I do think that when it gets into an area where the correctness or incorrectness of my agreement or disagreement with any particular precedent is an area that is likely to come before the court or could well become before the court, I'd have to draw the line there. My views on cases that I think are not likely to come before the court, I'm perfectly willing to discuss. According to the count by Senator John Common, a Republican from Texas, Roberts had been more than responsive. I know before that we had the last two rounds of questions. You'd answered 35 questions on civil rights, 10 on following precedents. You answered 40 questions about the role of a judge, 25 on abortion and privacy rights, and 11 on presidential powers, he said. So I would just disagree with the characterization that someone might make. I don't think it's fair or accurate that you've been anything less than completely forthcoming and that we frankly know an awful lot about you, and it's not been a bad thing, Cornyn added. A hush over battleground cases. Earlier in the day, the man nominated by President Bush to be the nation's 17th Chief Justice declined to give his opinion on the landmark 1973 Roe v. Wade ruling, which he said U.S. states could not ban, U.S. states could not ban abortions. Roberts said, however, that legal precedent already set by the court is a very important consideration. I think it's a jolt to the legal system when you overturn precedent. It is not enough that you may think that a prior decision was wrongly decided. Roberts said the first round of questioning by Senate Judiciary Committee Arlen Specter. Roberts also battled with lawmakers like Senator Joe Biden, a Democrat from Delaware, over what types of questions he should or should not be answering. This shouldn't be a game of gotcha, you know. You should be playing a game. The folks have a right to know what you think. You're there for life, Biden said. But Republicans warned Roberts to avoid traps by Democrats that they may be setting to try to play the game. Some interest groups and some Senate Democrats would like nothing more than for you to take the litmus test, Senator Orrin Hatch, Republican of Utah, said. I agree that this committee needs answers, but only to proper questions. You are not campaigning for elective office. The question that needs to be answered is how you view the role of unelected judges in a representative democracy. Roberts repeatedly defended himself throughout the day for his decision over which questions to answer. I should not, based on precedent of prior nominees, agree or disagree with particular decisions, and I'm reluctant to do that. Roberts said in a response to one question about abortion, that's one of the areas I think prior nominees have drawn the line. As of 1992, when the Supreme Court ruled of Casey versus Planned Parenthood, the High Court has emphasized the principles that have been settled for years. It's entitled to respect under those principles, Roberts said. He did say, however, that the right to privacy protected under the Constitution in various ways, including the First, Third, and Fourth Amendments in the Court, and the Court has already decided personal privacy as a component of the liberty protected as a due process law, Roberts added. Roberts also said that he agreed with the 1995 Supreme Court ruling in Griswold versus Connecticut that established the right of the sale and use of contraceptive. Asked by Senator Dianne Feinstein, a Democrat from California, whether the court should get involved in end-of-life decisions, Roberts had a similar answer. Senator, that is exactly one of the questions before the court. I can't answer that in the abstract. He did, however, say he believes the court should have a limited role in general, and they only interpret the law. They don't make policy. Another subject, Roberts also declined to talk about the voluntary school prayer, saying that a case involving prayer could come before the court. So Roberts doing what the best he can to deflect questions, although everything that I've read about this guy and elsewhere, and perhaps you have too, indicate that he's going to be pretty soft on abortion. And we already knew this. We expected this from his past arguing before the Supreme Court. In fact, it even seems that he might be in favor of abortion rights, and so we won't be surprised if we see that. If you have a question or comment about Judge Roberts or anything else on the show today, be sure to give us a call. Either one of our lines, 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. And are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume you don't have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the Old Stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground, just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And that's what you're listening to right now, folks, the Tyranny Response Network. Be sure to visit our website, which is www.tyrannyresponse.com or www.tyrannyresponse.net, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Here's another one on, this is from LouRockwell.com. He says, on Labor Day I labored, Charles H. Featherstone. When I got back from Saudi Arabia early in 2004, arriving in Washington during the middle of the winter, the last thing I really wanted to do was get another job in journalism. I've enjoyed being a reporter, writer, and editor, and don't get me wrong, I've learned a lot, too, but there's a general ache in my guts. I get an ache because journalism isn't satisfying, because it isn't much of an intellectual challenge, because being chained to a computer and telephone for most of the day isn't physically invigorating, because there is little spiritual satisfaction in playing, he said, she said, games with activists and government spokesmen, or spokespersons, or reciting pronouncements like officials from the department, from the stacking and shortage report of that August cardboard box sales rose 1.4% over July levels to a 23-month high. Yeah, that would sound pretty bad. I would eventually get to work as an editor at a daily oil and natural gas industry publication, but that would be a few months after my plane touched down at Dulles Airport. My wife rejoined me from California, and we'd rented an apartment near the Potomac River in Alexandria. As I looked for work, I still had plenty of time on my hands. Looking for a job may be a full-time occupation, but it can also be a fairly demoralizing one and not something you can spend every waking moment of every day doing. At least I can't. So I decided to satisfy an urge. I wanted to learn how to fix bicycles. I went to Bennett, the manager of a nearby shop where Jennifer and I had bought our bikes, and I made him an offer. If you're willing to teach me what I need to know about repairing bicycles, I will work for no charge. Being a relatively wily man and a great example of the kind of fine life a person can have without ever going anywhere near a college or university credentialing mill, Bennett said yes. Maybe he just wanted to see how this flabby, overeducated twerp with too many college degrees would do when it came to actual physical work. Maybe I wasn't really interested in learning how to fix bicycles, and I'd quit after a couple of days. The best way to start, he said, nodding at the top of the bicycle boxes in the back room, is to assemble bicycles. It's not too hard. It took a while, and there were a lot of things to remember. Are cranks tight enough? Do you grease the pedals before you put them? Did you grease the pedals before you put them on? And did you tighten them down enough? Are the brakes aligned properly? I'm only beginning to get proper derailleur adjustment. It's hard work, but I've always liked honest sweat. I kept at it, and as parts, while my bicycle failed, the first rear wheel, then brakes, then the frame, I would get the chance to learn to fix, build, or replace a new part. Even after I got a full-time job in the district, I was no longer able to work during the weekdays. I still came into the bike shop to help build bikes, to help with repairs on busy Saturdays and Sundays. Bennett even showed me how to use the cash register, an overly sophisticated computer setup, and trusted me enough to run it unsupervised on busy afternoons. That was more than a year ago. Since then, I have earned his trust and the trust and confidence of the bike shop staff as someone who could actually do the work. There's a lot still I don't know. I'd be helpless trying to actually sell a bike, especially a high-end one. But there's a lot I do know. After all, I built my own bicycle from parts, including the rear wheel from scratch, which is held up underneath me now for more than 1,100 miles. No mean feel that, especially since I was so uncertain at first about relying on something so apparently flimsy as a bicycle wheel that I'd built with my own hands. The last 2 years, Bennett has called on me to help him over the busy Labor Day weekend, since many of the regular staff take the weekend off. So all 3 days of the Labor Day weekend, I was busy fixing bikes, renting bikes, selling the bike doodads, answering questions from potential customers, and assembling the occasional Marin, Fuji, or Kona, fresh out of their made-in-China or made-in-Taiwan boxes. It was tiring, exhausting, in fact, the most invigorating, especially after a long week of long work days in front of a computer following the advance of Hurricane Katrina through the most important oil and gas producing region in the United States. But note how I did this. I didn't take a class on bicycle repair at the city recreation department or the local community college. I did not buy a book or study the subject online. I did not seek out state or federal job training projects designed to turn out bicycle mechanics. I did engage in some supervised, amorphous, lifelong learning, that project that will go somewhere on my permanent record. Or he said he did not. I went to the manager of a bike shop and said, teach me. In exchange, I will give you my labor. It was purely voluntary and very informal exchange. I am certain I had proven inept or incompetent apprentice mechanic. Bennett would have told me, dude, get out of here, you stink. Instead, while he doesn't pay me, I get all my parts for free. That is, I don't pay cash for them. I do work for them. That's a fair deal. It helps me that I'm the only person Bennett had such a arrangement with. There are others, mostly adults like myself, with other professional jobs, I suppose I could call them careers, although I've really grown to despise that word, who don't mind sweating over aluminum, steel, and rubber in their spare time in exchange for a place to work on their own, souped-up, high-tech bicycles. Here's a lot of the... He's also had a lot of kids in the place, too. Some are willing to work for, and some are not willing to. Those who are serious stick around and learn. There aren't many of them. Those who aren't get bored and leave, which is the way it should be. We live in a world where it is possible. In fact, it is the norm anymore to get an education but never learn how to do anything. In fact, it's probably the point of education anyway, since a person who cannot really do anything makes a good human resource, a good cog or chain ring for a business government machine whose end is not the sale of a product or the provision of a service, but the management and perpetuation of the enterprise itself. A skill, on the other hand, is something you can take with you wherever you go. A few tools, maybe, and you're in business. When it comes to being an editor, all I need is a pencil. When it comes to being a bike mechanic, the few wrenches I keep in a kit bag on my bike, and I'm off. It's not dependent on the enterprise, but on the goodwill of anyone but paying customers, and not even that, but if they're willing to pay what you can do, regardless of how cranky you are. So anyway, this is an interesting little piece, isn't it? I'm jumping to the end here because we don't have time to read the whole thing. He said, acquire those skills the old-fashioned ways by learning from someone who knows how, or by striking out at your own teaching yourself. It's scary at first, but it can be done. Then teach those things to others who are willing to learn. It's how people create civilizations, and it's how its bits and pieces will save ours. Appreciate that enlightening commentary this morning from Charles Featherstone. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back after the break.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning, this 14th day of September 2005. And I'm just shocked while I'm watching the video here that Charles forwarded to me about these men in arms, these police officers and other government agencies going into homes in New Orleans and dragging out old ladies and other folks while they're confiscating arms and then forcing people to evacuate. You've got to be kidding me. And his question is, why are we still not up in arms against these people? Well, before we take up that question, let's have a look at the weather.
Well, right now in Greenville-Spartanburg, 73 degrees. Downtown, 73. Anderson, 70. Clemson, also 70. Today, partly cloudy, highs in the lower 90s, and north winds 10 to 15 miles per hour and gusty.
Actually, that was not Charles. That was one of the Tyranny Response Network research staff who sent me up that video, by the way. But at any rate, this is just a shocking thing when you look at the pictures of people being dragged out of their homes. These are little old ladies being grabbed by cops and forcibly evicted from their homes. Is this liberty? Is this the land of the free? How can this kind of thing go on? Who gives government the right, or the state the right, to tell you whether or not you can't stay in your own home? They should have pulled out their weapons and started blasting these guys. I mean, that's the only right thing to do. What else can you say? It's not right for the state to intrude in someone's home because the state thinks you're in danger and force you to leave. Every American should have the right to do what he wants with his own and his own home. And you can advise people, you can suggest things to them, but to grab people by the arms like this and throw them out, especially little old ladies, it's just ridiculous. This is not freedom. It's not a right thing to do. I don't know how else you can put it. This is a wrong action by the federal government to go in as a state and harass people in New Orleans or anywhere else for that matter. You may disagree with me. I don't know why, but you may. And we hope you will hear from you at 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. I want to remind folks, too, that the Tyranny Response Network staff is always looking for new volunteers. And if you're able to help with our projects here, they're technically in installing radio equipment or in networking equipment with computers and so forth. Or if you're able to help produce the Christian Worldview show and can donate a couple hours a week permanently, for a while at any rate, we would really be glad to have your assistance. And go to the tyrannyresponse.com website, go down and scroll down on the right side under the contacts tab, and there you'll find the names of several people. Email one of them, and they can tell you then how you can help, and they will. They're good at that. At any rate, tyrannyresponse.com website has a lot of things to offer, and it includes all sorts of things about the Tyranny Response Network, audio files. It has the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition, which we hope you'll scroll down and sign on the related media tab. But at any rate, I want to go back to this whole issue about the hurricane and all the damage that's going on there. This is just pathetic. It is an awful travesty of justice and otherwise when you watch people being thrown out of their homes by the cops. How can it possibly be that we live in a free country? We don't, obviously, and this kind of stuff go on. It's just appalling, just appalling to me. Here's a couple of quick blurbs that people have sent in from the research staff. One is that Katrina dollars aren't free. That's right, Katrina dollars aren't free. This appeared on the Insider Online Today magazine. Katrina dollars are not free. And we want to be careful about just throwing around the money, as we talked about earlier on the show today, because someone's going to pay for it. And President Bush has already admitted some responsibility. Some things were his errors in what's happened down there. Well, the whole thing is a government scandal. It's a joke. Frustrating stuff. Here's a quote from Thomas Paine. This may give us a little bit of relief for the moment. "If there must be trouble, let it be in my day," he said, "that my child may have peace." There must be trouble, let it be in my day, that my child may have peace. Thomas Paine, December 23rd, 1776. Good quote. We agree. It'd be nice if we could do something to help fight for freedom now, so our kids could be free. Here, there's a long note from a sheriff's deputy working for the Homeland Security place down in New Orleans. Here's some more of the way they treat people down there. This sheriff deputy's name. Now let's see, what is that? It doesn't have the guy's name on here. Well, the staff, you need to send me the people's names who send this stuff in. Who is this guy that wrote this? Well, I don't know who wrote it, but he says he's a sheriff's deputy who's part of Homeland Security and emergency preparedness in the New Orleans metropolitan area. That's all we know about him. At the end of this little speech, he says that all gas stations have a 15 to 20 minute wait for gas. Some stations are selling only 2 gallons per customer. One station raised its prices to $5.64 a gallon. The owner refused to lower prices. We promptly hooked him in the cuffs and dumped him in jail. There's tons more. Let's think about this concept for a minute. You decide that you have bottled water, gasoline, perfume, anything else, lemonade you're selling on the street corner. And instead of putting on there $2 a gallon or 5 cents a cup for the lemonade, or a dollar for the bottle of fingernail polish, or you put an inflated price, $100 for the fingernail polish, $15 for the glass of lemonade, and $100 a gallon for gasoline. Who cares? Who cares? It's your gasoline. It's your fingernail polish. It's your water. It's your lemonade. All this stuff is yours. Why can't you sell it for whatever you want to sell it for? Now, hopefully no one's going to go and buy it. But if they do buy it, it means that, guess what? Supply and demand are such that there's demand, and there will be a significant amount of demand, evidently, at the price charged. You don't put people in jail for charging a price that they want to charge. It's their stuff. They can ask anything they want for it. If someone's willing to pay it, then great. If they're not willing to pay it, then he's not going to sell it. So what's the problem here? They're hauling these people to jail in New Orleans for this. Mayor Hagan had years, and so did his predecessor, to prep, but they refused to help, and everyone else's help. Now he's complaining because no one is coming, and everything is falling apart. The media are asking, why was the state and feds not prepared? New Orleans never allowed us to hold drills. All other parishes in Baton Rouge have had drills just for this. The media is asking why no help is coming for the dead. They're dead. We are the only worried about the living. He's misspelled that. Okay. We are trying to... I only say that because sometimes it's hard for me to read and understand what I'm reading when I see these misspellings, like they're dead, T-H-E-I-R. I wasn't quite sure what he meant at first. Wasn't picking on him, just that I couldn't tell you exactly what it was. We are tying the dead to a tree or pushing them aside in an attempt to save the living. I say, if you want out, we'll get you out. You want to stay, then stay. I think we should let New Orleans die and rebuild the national infrastructure somewhere other than a bowl. Okay, well, fine. Here's a government bureaucrat, basically, well, whatever. I guess you call him a bureaucrat, a cop. Sheriff, saying this much. You're listening to Christian Worldview. We're overdue for a break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. finally a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And here's some more words on New Orleans and things related to it. And specifically, Hal Cranmer writes about go after the price gougers. That's what he says, go after the price gougers, but he's going to be critical of this idea. That's Hal Cranmer. He says, as many goods and services become scarcer due to Hurricane Katrina, there are increasing calls for arresting anyone who engages in price gouging. That's, quote, price gouging, unquote. Price gouging has been described by government officials as raising prices above the levels they should be. There is what should be in the market during an emergency. Just what constitutes a deviation above the market level is determined by bureaucratic judgment. However, normally, when the supply of a good decreases, the demand increases, the price of that good should go up. However, during times of government crisis, officials believe they have the power to change the laws of economics. Just like so much of what a government does, there are unintended consequences for messing with the laws of nature. In the case of price gouging assault, by denying price increases, the government actually causes greater scarcity, causes a shortage, actually. I hope to show that there's a form of price gouging that should be halted immediately. That's what some people said. There is a need for no natural disaster supply shortage to occur for the guilty individuals to raise prices far in excess of the market rate, but a disaster sure does help. There are no crises. These individuals are adept in creating one in order to start gouging. After the disaster is over, the price is going to go down a little, but the gouging remains. You can ask what kind of business could get away with this over a long period of time, and you'd be correct to think that market forces make private enterprise lower its prices, go out of business eventually. That's why no private business can price gouge for any length of time. The only price gougers are governments at all levels. It's impossible to be gouged in a free market. I agree. He's right. There is the very essence of economic calculation that Ludwig von Mises preached. The government, however, makes us pay for its services whether we want or to or not. The government has to use either force or the threat of force to extract payment from us, which indicates that we do not value their services as highly as the money they seized from us. The government also pays far in excess of the market rate for goods and services that it procures. There are numerous examples of $600 toilet seats and $300 hammers, which the Department of Defense, or whole lists of projects that congressmen bring home to their districts known as pork. And we have things like the Federal Reserve, which is another thing that needs to be slammed. And the same can be said for those of us who like to save money. We are getting gouged on our rates of return by the Federal Reserve. Yes, the only true gougers are governments. Governments can pull off price gouging. In the free market, price gouging, whether it's $5.64 a gallon for gasoline in New Orleans or $15 a glass for lemonade, cannot be sustained. Prices will drop, and that's why they're dropping, have been dropping here in South Carolina and other places. We're in the 290s now for gasoline. It should continue to go down unless government intervenes. There's no reason for it not to go down even further. At any rate, another article on the hurricane has something from Kurt Nimmo. Kurt Nimmo writing about FEMA, and he says, if you believe, if you believe, and this is his article is actually called FEMA and Rex 84 Relocation Center. FEMA and Rex 84. If you believe the corporate media, FEMA is simply a bungling and inept emergency management agency, and its director, Michael Brown, according to the Washington Post, is simply an accidental director, and the failed head of the Arabian Horse supporting a group who was plucked from obscurity to become President Bush's point man for the worst natural disaster in U.S. history, and as the Boston Globe notes, got the job through an old college friend who at the time was heading up FEMA. Brown, formerly an estates and a family law a lawyer, this week had to make several shocking public admissions, including interviews where he suggested FEMA was unaware that the misery and depression of refugees standing at New Orleans Convention Center. Well, he's a real bungler, obviously. FEMA refused evacuation help from Amtrak. It turned away the experienced firefighters and first responders, turned back Walmart supply trucks, refused to allow the Red Cross to deliver food, blocked 500 boat citizen flotilla from delivering aid, turned away generators and other equipment, and it just went out of its way to cause all sorts of bungling. It says, regardless of the corporate media hype, FEMA was not created to respond to natural disasters and help American citizens. In fact, it's an unconstitutional construct created by executive order and draws its unlawful facade not from the American people, but from the executive order 12,148 was published by the Federal Registry. FEMA has only spent 6% of its budget on national emergencies. The bulk of their funding has been the construction of secret underground facilities to assure continuity of government in case of a major emergency, foreign or domestic. See, that's the real reason we have this FEMA organization. Well, at any rate, skipping down through his article before we run to the break, we might want to see. Might want to read this last little piece here. He says the disaster that struck New Orleans and the southern Gulf Coast has given rise to the largest military mobilization in modern history on U.S. soil. Nearly 65,000 U.S. personnel are now deployed in disaster areas, transforming the devastated port city into a war zone, writes Bill Van Auken. While no doubt incompetence and indifference played a major role in the supposedly bungling and aid effort, there's also strong evidence that aid was deliberately withheld by the White House and Pentagon as part of the strategy for asserting unfettered military control over the city. The U.S. ruling elite and both major parties have used September 11th as the pretext for implementing far-reaching attacks on democratic rights and breaching legal barriers such as posse comitatus against the use of military force against the American people. Van Auken mentions that U.S. military is the Northern Command has helped a series of war plans for the military to take charge in domestic crises. And so that's what we see, what's really going on here in New Orleans, folks. It's a little game. It'd kill a bunch of people, let a disaster happen, make it worse. They may even have blown the dike, for all we know, or the levees. There were some news reports of explosive residue being found on those things. But the whole thing has been a charade. They're trying to see just how well they can take stuff over through the military control. And just think, it's maybe coming, folks. This is what part of the plan. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And here's a couple of other things going on in the New Orleans area. Preacher runs food stealing, FEMA and police off. The preacher's running off from people that are stealing food. And guess who it is? It's FEMA and the police. This is a preacher down in the area. He says, my friend Reverend John Cripps of Mississippi runs FEMA and the sheriff off at gunpoint. I do like gun-toting preachers, says a person called Dixie Gal. The post appeared in the Dixie Rising Forum on Saturday the 3rd, I believe. Please see the follow-up report below it. Mike Crane wrote, two semi-loads of relief supplies will be arriving in Wiggins, Mississippi this evening and tomorrow morning. These have been called, been collected in Florida, and the farm of John Cripps will be in the main distribution point. He is needed in unloading and, of course, in getting the word out to members of Southern Heritage organizations that are in the area that may need supplies. Supplies include non-perishable food, personal effects, roofing repair materials, tarps. The trucks are originating from areas in Florida hit last year, so they have contributed the items that were needed based upon the common experience last year. Robert Lloyd is with the first truck and the collection of supplies. Directions to John Cripps. He believes that Highway 49 south of Hattiesburg to Wiggins is open. Come to the main intersection to Wiggins, turn on Mississippi 26, and travel about 8 miles to John's house. He said, if one will watch the odometer for 8.1 miles from the middle of the bridge to 26, it will take him right to John's front door. And that's what he's suggesting. At any rate, he goes on to talk about how this story actually turned out. He says, here's the rest of the story. FEMA apparently heard that John Cripps was distributing food to people at his place. They came and told him that he had to turn over these two truckloads of food to them. Can you imagine? For those of you who do not know John Cripps, let me just say FEMA didn't get the food. This food was not donated through FEMA anyway. It was a private effort by a private individual who requested that Mr. Cripps' place be a local distribution point. FEMA told Mr. Cripps, Mr. Altman, and Mr. Lloyd twice to turn over the supplies to them. Then they said some people from higher up in the FEMA bureaucracy, and the answer was still no. Then they called and told John that the Stone County Sheriff Department was sending two members of the SWAT team to take the food. John says that about this time there were 35 men in the redneck relief, all with sidearms, steady, unloading the two trucks. I think John asked the sheriff if he wanted to take food away from the citizen at this point of a gun, and at the point of theirs. The redneck relief workers were told they would be arrested if they were caught armed. Long story short, the food was distributed from the Cripps farm to people back in those Mississippi woods. John told FEMA and the Sheriff's Department to get a map of Stone County, take a magic marker, and X out the northwest corner. We'll take care of our own. I guess FEMA doesn't know, this is great, what to do with people who are self-sufficient, unlike those in New Orleans cussing and hollering for the federal government to do something. It's also my understanding that FEMA is confiscating private sheds, warehouses, etc. for housing. I wonder if we will ever have as much liberty as we had before Katrina. Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama are covered with federal agencies. The question is, when will they leave? As FEMA seems to have taken over. Okay, oh, this is all about this fellow John Cripps in Lumberton, Mississippi. Gotta appreciate it. All a bunch of guys with sidearms, armed people unloading food. Cops aren't going to come up and threaten them, but aren't actually going to come up and take a chance of losing their own lives, as the citizens are going to fire on them. And guess what? They're distributing food and they're doing it successfully, even under the threat of the federal scourge. Great story. Really appreciate folks sending that in. Very interesting stuff. Want to make one quick announcement. Remember that the South of the Sons of Confederate Veterans are going to be having a special meeting coming up on September the, let's see, it's at Buck's Restaurant, 701 Pendleton Street, Highway 135. And right where 135 crosses 123 in Easley. And this particular meeting is on September 20th. That's next Tuesday. And they're going to be having a special presentation by William J. Watkins. And he's going to be speaking on the Virginia and Kentucky resolutions that were so popular in the past. I hope you can make that a meeting. Remember, it's next Tuesday evening. Starts at 6:30. If you want dinner, it's $9. Otherwise, come for the meeting at 7 o'clock, and you'll be able to hear this great speech held by the Sons of Confederate Veterans. And you are presently listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. an evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this morning. Glad you've joined us, and it's the 14th day of September 2005. Let's have a quick look at the weather.
Okay, then right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, 73 degrees. Downtown, 73 also. Anderson, 70. Clemson, 70 also. Today is going to be partly cloudy. Highs in the lower 90s. North winds, 10 to 15 miles per hour, and very gusty.
I forgot to mention earlier in the show, and I intended to, that you need to remember the Tyranny Response Network staff, the volunteers, have been moving to improve our signal quality here in the upstate. By doing so, they're also going to be found on various different frequencies now. If you're down towards Anderson County or Pickens County, you can also try 96.5 instead of the 97.7 where the main frequencies being broadcast. 97.7. Try 96.5 down that way. Up towards the Spartanburg County area, especially beginning next Monday, you can try 87.9. But as I understand, 87.9 is already in a test mode, functioning even now. So as you're driving around, remember those other two frequencies, 96.5 FM and 87.9, and perhaps you'll be able to pick up the Tyranny Response Network. The Times Examiner is the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. You know, we always like to support the Times Examiner here at the Tyranny Response Network. They've been a great help to us, not only in publishing the columns from people like Dr. Stephen Yates and Ben Graydon and myself, people who are very much in tune with the Tyranny Response Network, but they've been helping advance the cause of liberty. And if you're tired of reading liberal columnists, you need to get a hold of the Times Examiner. It's only $25 a year in-state, and it's mailed to your home every Wednesday. $27 a year out-of-state. You can get on the subscription list by calling 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. If you want to place an ad in the Times Examiner to promote your own business and help the paper out, it would be greatly appreciated, obviously, and you can do so by calling David directly at 859-6817. That's area code 864-859-6817. Hope you get in touch with them, and hope you are able hope you're able to put an ad in for your business with the Times Examiner today. So, any rate, wanted to also relay to you that under the audio section of the Tyranny Response Network's page, we have our special Liberty Minutes programs. Take a listen to those things, folks. The nature of the state and the Christian's responsive relationship to its public policy. It's a growing list, and Rip and Rich will be adding shortly some more information there as well, including the latest one on the nature of the state. The same list may be found on the libertarianchristians.org website. If you haven't visited Libertarian Christians, yes, there are Libertarian Christians, even besides me, pro-life libertarians out there. Visit libertarianchristians.org and find the same online course with these audio files on the Liberty Minutes programs about public policy. Both sides well worth listening to. Last night we had a great event against the FTAA with Jack McMahon from the John Birch Society speaking at the Hilton Hotel. Was not able to attend the entire event, but I did attend a good portion of it, and also was able to host John, or Jack as he likes to be called, and Jim Capo from the John Birch Society at my home for dinner, and we had an enjoyable time. Just very delightful men, and really doing the work of a patriot in this dire age. And so I'm glad that other people were able to get out for that. I wish there were more people there than there were. I think there were 50 or 60 people there by my quick count. Wish it were 500 people listening to that, so we could understand the nature of the globalist politics and the problems we face under globalism and socialism coming through the New World Order thrust through NAFTA, CAFTA, and now the FTAA. Bush is trying to get that one passed before he leaves office, evidently, and probably early as January of 2006. I want to remind you folks also about the events coming up for the week. Remember, the TyrannyResponse.com website has an events tab. If you go to TyrannyResponse.com or TyrannyResponse.net and simply scroll down, you'll find the calendar under the events tab for September 2005. The 15th, that's tomorrow night, there's a League of the South meeting. This will be held at the Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road. That's across from the Greenville Mall here in Greenville. Tomorrow night, the Carolina Patriots will be meeting in Fountain Inn off of Fairview Road. It's on Main Street, actually, but you take Fairview Road off of I-385 to get to the Carolina Patriots meeting. Hope you'll be able to attend both of those. I'm certainly going to try to make the League of the South meeting tomorrow night at the Prime Sirloin, as I do enjoy very much being part of the League of the South. Appreciate all your efforts and interest, too, in transforming your world, and that's what it's all about at Christian Worldview. We're the station that helps you think better. We're the ones who try to get you to understand why it's important to be involved and to provide you outlets where you can be involved, and that's why we have the webpage in its sophisticated form, thanks to Rip and Richie doing all that work. Now, some people may wonder what happened to Rip and Richie's show. He's had a conflict with work, from what I understand. He's not having his afternoon show for the time being. He's searching for a different time where he could put on the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse, and for the time being, it's not going to be going on. So in case anybody was missing that in the afternoon, we apologize, but being the volunteer staff nature that we are here at the network, can't hold everybody with as large a paycheck as volunteers get, which is zero, to actually do shows when their family comes first. So at any rate, hopefully Rip and Richie will get things back in order, and he'll be able to have the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse shortly once again. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Cope. We're going to try to get back on tune with our break schedule, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
We need to remind you folks, too, about the Greenville Conference of the Christian Exodus coming up on October 15th. You need to be prepared for this, and Corey Burnell writes, the president, please attend our 2005 annual conference at the Hilton Hotel in Greenville for the following experience. Speakers covering a wide range of topics important Christian Exodus. Panel discussions with CE members who have moved to South Carolina. Questions and answer session with a panel of CE's leadership. Demonstrations of CE's feasibility and likelihood of success. Presentation of CE's relocation assistance and home building programs. Vendor tables. Rewarding fellowship with Christian American patriots. Full course plated meal for lunch. And of course, the conference goes on from 10 in the morning until 7 at night. Some of the speakers include Mr. Michael Chapman, coming from Minnesota, and he serves on the board of directors from EdWatch. Yours truly, Dr. John Coben. Mr. Arthur Bringleston, who's a vice chairman of the Republican Party in Dorchester County, and Corey Burnell, who's president of the Christian Exodus. It's one of the projects everyone is talking about, but it's because it correctly identifies America's problem and its solution. And he says, you can now register. I think this is the last day to register for the reduced price of $30. $30. Now, if you want to register, call Christian Exodus at 877-727-3578. 877-727-3578. The price goes up to $40 tomorrow, as I understand it. So if you call today, you can still get in and get your tickets for $30. Probably have to fax a form. I know they're really looking to fill up this conference, and they have not even come close, Corey told me on the phone the other day, to break even. The response has not been overwhelming to attend the conference. That's a sad thing. We really wish it would be a full conference, but it's only going to become a full conference as everybody takes a step and registers to go. So we hope that you all register to go to the Greenville Conference of Christian Exodus. That's October 15th, 10 to 7 o'clock, all day Saturday, and it's a $30 price today, $40 tomorrow and afterwards. Okay, what else have we got going on? Well, bombers and gunmen kill over 100 people in Iraq. They wanted to let us know over there that they aren't forgotten, even though we've forgotten about them temporarily through Katrina and some other things like John Roberts being elected. Yes, it says here, a homicide car bomber struck as day laborers gathered to find work at a Shiite neighborhood in North Baghdad, killing at least 88 people and wounding 227 in the deadliest of a series of attacks in the Iraqi capital Wednesday. Al-Qaeda in Iraq reportedly claimed responsibility. Iraqi lawmakers, meanwhile, agreed on last-minute revisions to the contested draft constitution in a bid to appease the disgruntled Sunni minority that has formed the core support for the country's virulent insurgency. So some things are still going on in Iraq, obviously. We got the hurricane now. Ophelia back, might even hit the coast here. Well, we'll see what happens with that as time goes on. Here's an email, an encouraging email from Harry, who called the show yesterday. Appreciate Harry's efforts, and I appreciate faithful listeners like Harry doing the yeoman's work of trying to rally people to the cause of truth and liberty. He says, Dr. Coben, I greatly appreciate you and what you are doing. I'm a member of the Sons of Confederate Veterans and have been a member of the League of the South and the John Birch Society. It's too bad we can't get all of the patriot organizations to come together into one cohesive force. I know that there are thousands who believe as we do, but we are splintered and thus is not as effective as we could be. An articulate leader such as yourself could possibly get this done. All the groups that we know of would have to be contacted and then try to set up a meeting, probably 6 months to a year in advance. What do you think about trying to get this done? Well, I like the idea a lot. And by the way, he has his email, cottonfields@backroads.net. I think you won't mind me giving that out to you here on the air. cottonfields@backroads.net. If you can, send Harry an email today, cottonfields@backroads.net, about what you think about his proposal. The Tyranny Response Network, in large part, is trying to do exactly what Harry is suggesting, to bring together in one cohesive organization under my leadership or leadership of others here at the Tyranny Response Network, all of us who have very like-minded, similar principles from the League of the South, the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, as well as the taxpayer organizations, Americans for Constitutional Government, the Carolina Patriots, and many other smaller groups. We're trying to have one voice on many issues in which we agree. In fact, the fact of the matter is, if we go to all of these meetings with different groups, for the exception possibly of Greenville taxpayers, my guess is that at least 80%, if not 90% of the things that are heard or spoken in each meeting would be agreed upon by all the other groups. And so why not have a political force, not only through Christian Exodus or these other kinds of groups that would rise and come here, but internally within the upstate of South Carolina, why not have a cohesive, unified force on the issues that are important to us, including pro-life, getting rid of the Federal Reserve and the IRS, getting rid of the public school. Those are four things right there which are worth fighting in conjunction together. Don't you think? These are great things for which we can stand in moments of liberty here by making a cohesive effort together. So far, these efforts have failed largely. I'm not sure why, but they've, by and large, have failed. And we're hoping through the Tyranny Response Network to make it somewhat of a reality. Now, if Harry is able to head up an arrangement such that we can go forward in an even better fashion, we hope that he'll be able to do so and perhaps begin organizing this meeting 6 months out. And Harry, please go ahead and do that. If you have an ability to help Harry out with this in any way, please do send Harry an email. Once again, his email address is cottonfields@backroads.net, cottonfields@backroads.net. Perhaps we can get some ideas together for how we can make this a reality. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take our last break here, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to the final segment today of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, this 14th day of September 2005. Here is an article that came in off of from Reb Sutherland's email list. She was the former Libertarian candidate for senator here. She says, the Swedish party will abolish marriage. Well, actually, before I get into that, I've got an incoming call here. Let's take a call from the caller here. Hello, welcome to Christian Worldview. This is John Coben. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, good morning. This is Chuck.
Good morning, Chuck. We need to turn your volume up. I can't hear you real well. Okay, well, you're on the air.
Oh, great. I'm sorry I missed the beginning of the show. I've been listening to the last part, and I agree with the idea about getting the groups to work together. I think there is a lot we can agree on. But I was curious if you'd had the chance to watch much of the confirmation hearing with John Roberts and what you thought about that.
Well, I appreciate you asking that, and unfortunately, being handicapped as I am and not having a television, I don't really have any opportunity to watch any of the confirmation hearings. All the news I get is filtered through the internet and other sources, and actually, I'm pretty glad for that, because I don't like to, I don't miss having a television and being preached to by them. But anyway, tell me how it went. What did you see there that was interesting?
Well, I saw a little bit of it. The thing that impresses me, he's doing a nice job of answering the questions that senators make, such as they are. Mostly what they do is they grandstand for a while, make speeches, and then they say, now what do you think? And then he says, I can't comment on that.
That's good. He's a prudent question answerer, it sounds like.
Yeah, the impression I have is that they want to catch him out. They're hoping he'll trip up and say, well, you know, I would never vote for Roe v. Wade, or I would definitely vote to overturn it, or something of that sort, which he's not going to say. But that's all it is. It's a big game.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. We're not going to know anything from this. I mean, people now who get nominated for these posts are not going to answer these senators' questions, obviously, like Bork did or some of those people in the past. They're not going to take a chance and answer something and not get confirmed, because after they're confirmed, they can do whatever they want and say what they want and think what they want, and no one can do anything about it. So this is all they've got to do is hop over this hurdle, and I'm sure he's playing that game very well.
Yeah, I'd read some stuff about him in Wall Street Journal. He seems to have the kind of temperament that you want. I mean, he's a original constructionist, and so that's a hopeful thing that he may be able to be a good substitute for Rehnquist.
Well, we certainly hope so. I have great doubts from what I've read from Pacific Legal Research and his denial of this guy doesn't like private property rights. He's more of a Kelo type, and he also argued in favor of abortion rights before the Supreme Court. But, you know, hey, I'd be happily surprised if it were not the case and he really turned out to be another Scalia or, you know, like you said, a strict constructionist.
Well, that's right. Well, again, I've said this before on TRN, but I welcome the Christian Exodus folks. Hope the conference fills up, and I hope it goes well.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised to hear that there were not that many people in attendance. They're still well below break even, which is going to be quite a financial burden on them if they're not able to sell the requisite number of tickets to get people in the door. And this is the last day where it's a $30 price. The price goes up to $40 tomorrow. I do hope some people, and we can help out in this, spread the word and get more folks involved in going to the conference.
You know, I'd say you're doing your part.
Well, we try our best here, at any rate.
Okay. Well, nice talking to you, John. You have a good day.
All right, Chuck. Thanks for the call.
Welcome. Bye.
All right. Nothing like getting callers in the last 10 minutes. It's always a good thing to have callers on Christian Worldview. It's been a rather quiet day to day. Yesterday was so busy with so many different phone calls taking up, better than 40 minutes of the show, which we appreciate. It's always interesting to have people call and interact with the show host. If you'd like to get in and call in the last minute here, call 864-244-8177. Well, getting back to this article, the Swedish party which will abolish marriage. A new political party in Sweden says it will abolish marriage if it gets into power. The Feminist Initiative, which expects more than 20% of the vote in next year's election, claims marriage is not about love, but about ownership. FL founder Tina Rosenberg said, instead of marriage, we want to promote cohabitation law that ignores gender and allows more than two people in a partnership. My, so we're going to the next stage. How does this go? You first go to homosexuality and lesbianism, and then you go to polygamy or polygyny. How do you say it for more than one husband? Well, at any rate, polygyny or something like that. And then what do we go to after that? Animals? Maybe that's already here. I mean, yeah, you know, I need medical benefits for my dog because, you know, he's my mate, you know, my sexual partner or whatever you want to call it. Just bizarre. There is a bottom to this, but the bottom finds itself in the lake of fire, folks. From a Christian worldview, this is just repulsive stuff, but this is what this party is all about. That's where it's heading in Sweden. No surprise, of course, from that country. She said, following relationships, allowing relationships to involve into more than two people. The FL does not want Sweden to fall back into a patriarchal structure with one man having a harem of women. A man who lives with eight women is a patriarchal structure where the man decides and the women obey is not what we're aiming for, said Rosenberg. And in order to encourage men to vote for them as well, the party that's all-female board is also calling for the introduction of a six-hour working day. Oh, good. So force people to work less. Non-text portion. Okay, I'm reading an email here. We're fast approaching the stage of ultimate inversion or investment, the stage where the government is free to do anything it pleases, while the citizens may act only by permission, which is the stage of the darkest periods of human history, the stage of rule by brute force. And that's what Ayn Rand said about the nature of government. Isn't this bizarre? Okay, so political parties trying to abolish marriage, and not just abolish marriage. We wouldn't have a problem if she was just abolishing marriage licensing, by the way, but she doesn't want to do that. She wants to have all sorts of cohabitation, all sorts of perversion, and things that go against the Christian worldview. So that's an interesting update from Sweden. Thought you'd all be interested in hearing about that nonsense going on there, because you know what? Remember, America's not that many decades behind Europe in going forth with the liberal agenda, with the agenda of all these folks that are so opposed to God and His ways. Well, we stand and try to hold up God and His ways here on Christian Worldview, and we're glad you joined us today for the show, and we hope we've helped you think a little deeper and a little bit more, with a little bit more flair and interest as you look at the events in the news and help and try to interpret them according to God's standard and the Christian worldview. And you have been listening, of course, to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Been a good day. Look forward to having you back tomorrow. Remember to tune in to 96.5 and 87.9 through this week and next as we begin to extend the signal as you drive outside of the Greenville area. Until then, till tomorrow then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.